Welcome, everybody.
Welcome, everyone.
Well, today we're going to just remind everybody that this is the month, Earth Month, Earth Day, Earth Month, April, plant-based for the planet, which will be helpful to our planet. And you don't have to do it just for the month of April, everybody, but you can start and then see how it goes.
Some people don't know that plant-based is vegetarian rebranded. Right. I mean,
yes,
it is really right. But it's just reminding you, you're just eating vegetables and plants. What we learned in our last interview with Annette Batson is that if everyone just kind of picked a plant-based meal every once in a while when they go out to eat, that it would make such a huge difference to our environment and saving animals. You don't have to go full on vegan to
make
an impact. Yeah, to make an impact. And so what she has done is she's been working with some people and put together this plant-based for our planet. And restaurants for the month of April present a special they've worked really hard on for you to order it. And it's a competition of sorts. And an award goes out at the end of what was the most, you know, ordered and all it has. She puts out a bunch of awards. And we'll also report on that. I think we should.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
And so what are the restaurants that are participating right now that are on her website or on the plantedsociety.org website?
Okay. So for the plant-based for the planet in Montclair, the participating restaurants are Basil, which is Indian and Thai. Wait, didn't you go there yesterday?
I was there last night. The food's so good. Honestly, they just get better. They're getting better and better.
Cafe Moso, De Novo. Mm-hmm. Faubourg, Marcel, Mercado, Porta, Samba, Tinga, Tino's, World Flats, and Zugma. So there's a lot of great restaurants that are going to be highlighting a few dishes that are participating in this planted sort of competition and to get you out and eating and dining in town and also contributing to a better planet.
Okay, I'm looking at the dishes on the website. It tells you what they are. I'm just looking here at some of these.
Zugma is one of my favorite restaurants in town. I just have to say it.
Yes,
it's amazing.
Yes. What do they got? Yeah.
They have slow-cooked root celery and citrus oil, vegan feta cream, Swiss chard chips, hazelnut crumble, and fava bean hummus.
Let's go there. Let's go. We should go do that. So anyway, so the point being is go to this website, plantedsociety.org and
/Montclair or /wherever.
And it looks like they're going to be expanding. I see that it's coming to going to Virginia as well. I think a partner that they work with, and I think they is also in Virginia. So it's a movement that's kind of spreading.
And it's very cool because if you go to plantedsociety.org without the /Montclair, you can see how many gallons of water can be saved, how many pounds of GHG emissions saved. It tells you how many permanent menu changes there are. Like when enough people order this kind of option on the menu, then the restaurant sees, oh, people are interested in this. And then they make a permanent addition to the menu, which also helps them. So it's really cool. So everybody get out there and try it and see what happens. I mean, you could add it to your meatless Mondays or you could do it, another day of the week as well.
But go check out these things and decide which one is the best and report to us, which is your
favorite. Yes, please let us know. Yes, definitely let us know which are your favorites at which restaurant. And we don't mind if it's not in Montclair, if it's anywhere, because we'll post no matter where it is.
That's right. And enjoy this interview with Annette
Batson.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Annette.
Well, I first met you by email, when I reached out to BaristaNet to talk when we first launched the podcast and was talking to you about getting the word out. And we did an ad and we started speaking a little bit about what you're involved in. And it sounded really interesting and we wanted to learn more, but we also want to learn more about, a little bit about you and your connection to New Jersey before we know why you're doing what you're doing for New Jersey. So are you from New Jersey?
Well, no, as a matter of fact, I am born and raised in Marin County, California, in San Anselmo.
Oh, okay.
I left.
Gorgeous there.
Yeah, it's like the idyllic place to grow up. And looking back, I feel so fortunate and privileged to have had that bucolic, you know, living, running around the hills of Marin County lifestyle. I came to the East Coast after graduate school. Started working in New York City. Mm-hmm. I had my master's in public health and was working for MetLife, just at the cusp of the movement for managed care, managed health care.
Oh.
I met my husband in a bar in New York City.
That's awesome.
And right when I met him, I moved to Madrid, Spain. He followed me there for about a year. I was in Madrid for a year and a half.
Doing lovely.
Managed care. And then we came back and got married in D.C. The company that sent me to Madrid was located in Washington, D.C. And Anthony found, he's a journalist, and he got his first break into TV when we moved to D.C., working at America's Most Wanted.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was very fun. So we had a parallel career path starting in D.C. I had three children in Montgomery County, Maryland. And in, I think, 2004, CBS News asked him to come to New York City, big promotion for him from the D.C. office. That's what brought us up in 2004. And we did a, you know, sweep of the tri-state area to figure out where we wanted to live and landed in Montclair for so many reasons. And I'm so glad I did. This was like, it was like a rebirth when I came to Montclair. It was, I finally found my place, you know?
Yeah.
Just the beauty of the city, of the town, the vibe, the welcoming of all my neighbors, the new friends, and everyone here has such an interesting story to tell. And they have such interesting backgrounds. And I felt like intellectually and emotionally reinvigorated when I came to Montclair. Mm-hmm. And I ended up, I was a mom. I had stopped working for like 7 years. And when I came here, I naturally like, I used to work in the travel industry too. So I'm always very inquisitive about, what's there to do? What's there to see? What are the cultural and, you know, foodie attractions in town? And pursuing that, I thought, what a great segue for me to work for BaristaNet if they need any writers. And so funny story, I met Liz George, the editor, on the hills, the sledding hills by the Iris Gardens.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was with her kids. I was with my kids. She had a 48 hours cap on her head. And I go, hey, my husband works there. And she goes, my brother works there. And then, you know, one thing led to another. And eventually she said, well, why don't you start working for us?
Before we get into what you're doing, I want to point out to people that I think that you have birds in your background. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, do you hear them?
Yeah, I do. I was like, it's not feedback. It's birds in your background, which I think ties in really well with who you are.
I'm the founder of Humane Montclair. Mm-hmm. I founded it last year. We've been around since like January of 2022. It's an animal advocacy outreach volunteer group, completely grassroots formed. And it's something that I decided to do it over a progression of many years. I've always been an animal lover. I think when I came here, we finally got a dog, then we got two dogs, and we got three dogs. That connection with pets, and I really began observing them and how they interacted and how smart they were and how sensitive and sentient they were. And that led me down that rabbit hole of, you know, reading about animal emotions, reading about, you know, animal welfare, reading about animal law, animal justice. And I started donating a lot of money to all these charities, you know, International Federation of Animal Welfare, the Farm Sanctuary, Mercy for Animals, the Humane League, the anti-vivisection people. How we treat animals virtually impacts everything and every part of our life and is connected to every existential issue we're dealing with today. That connection really interested me. When you know better, you do better. I decided to become a volunteer with the New Jersey Humane Society. I'm a policy volunteer, and so they recruit people to interact with the legislators. And so they kind of like formed me in terms of how to impact change at the legislative, you know, at the government level. What I want to do is shout this message from the mountaintop and say, everyone can make a difference, you know?
Yeah. The organization that you started, is it just local or is it connected to a larger
New Jersey Humane Society? Is it connected or are you your own?
No, we're completely independent. But okay. The best way to affect change is to build a consensus through a coalition building. So mm-hmm. I have tapped into my resources at the Humane Society, at the Animal Legal Defense Fund, at Compassion for Animals, at even with the local sustainability officer here in Montclair. But we are all independent. I just get buy-in. I try and get buy-ins from people. And with that buy-in comes support.
You've reached out to the restaurants too. Isn't that a big part of a recent initiative that you had?
Our biggest initiative was just this past March. The program was called Plant-Based for the Planet. I partnered with a young woman in Austin, Texas called Brittany Mann, who's absolutely fabulous, brilliant. I had noticed that in Montclair, being the restaurant mecca that it is, the whole vegan and plant-based angle was not at all highlighted, or it wasn't, you know, we weren't really known as a plant-based, you know, restaurant, wow. like kind of like Asbury Park is. And I thought there's definitely a vacuum here. There's definitely an unmet need because the restaurants do offer plant-based foods, but they're not promoting it. And there is definitely a demand for that. So I would run into people say, I don't know where to go. I don't know where to eat. There's not really much choice in Montclair. And I thought, this is a missed business opportunity for the restaurant owners, and it's a missed opportunity for the planet and for the people. So I made some inquiries with different organizations that I'm in contact with about how would you go about, you know, like promoting plant-based meals in restaurants in Montclair, in my hometown. And I ended up speaking with Brittany, and I told her what I wanted to do. I said, this is the perfect community. People are very open. People love to eat out. And I think they would embrace something that would be a positive impact on de-accelerating climate change. And so we agreed to do this partnership. I identified 13 restaurants in town who had some plant-based meals, but weren't promoting them, and very few vegan meals, and asked them if they would want to participate in this month-long program, you know, do something positive for the planet, lower our carbon footprint, lower water usage, mm-hmm. lower land usage by promoting plant-based meals. And that means no animal products, no dairy. We did identify 13 restaurants who, you know, said, okay, we'll give it a try. I said, look, it's only a month. No cost to you. You just have to commit to offering two newly created plant-based dishes. We will take care of all the marketing and promotion. We will give you printed materials. We had little table tents. We had window clings to promote the program. And all we ask of you is that you promote the plant-based dishes during the month of March. And it was hugely successful.
Yeah,
we served, I think, they served 52,000 vegan meals.
Wow.
During the month.
A lot.
It yeah,
a lot.
We just published our impact report. All the restaurants said it was a positive experience. All of, I would say 90% of them said they saw a bump in revenue.
Great.
The savings for the planet, hundreds of thousands of gallons of water, tons of carbon emissions saved.
Just in that one month.
Just in that one month.
Just from this one town. Or is it?
Yes.
That's crazy. I mean, it's hard to believe that such a small thing can make so many different changes, because we really just think when we are going to eat more plant-based, which is vegetarian, that it would have such a cascading effect. You know, it's not just animals that you're helping. You're helping the environment. You're helping, you know, water conservation. You're helping. It just goes on and on, and right. helping make money.
It's right. It was a win. It was a complete win-win for the community and for the planet and for animals. And I do want to say one thing. We never used the word vegan because we want to be inclusive. So everything was framed around plant-based. Vegan has so much baggage, and it turns people off. They say, if you look at oh, that's a vegan menu. Oh, I'm not going to look at that. I'm not a vegan. But mm-hmm. plant-based is like, everyone can relate to that.
I like that. Is that a term that's been utilized more and more often now?
It's becoming the touch point for the movement this year. people. The other agent organizations I've spoken with agree that plant-based is the terminology they need to use to access people, you know, and, right. and it's not alienating. It's more inclusive. And so all
and
of
it
our-
it doesn't also feel like an identity. Where right. I think vegan is saying I am vegan is an identity.
Right. And there's a lot of reasons to adopt a plant-based diet, you know, and it just depends. You have to find whatever your hook is to impel you to make that change. It could be climate. It could be public health. It could be saving the oceans. It could be saving the rainforest. It could be pollution. It could be social justice. Because most of the people that work in big ag and the animal industry are BIPOC or lower income people who live in economically depressed towns and who are subject to the pollution of air, water, soil,
terrible conditions
that surrounds conditions. Factory farming and slaughterhouses. So, you know, there's a lot of intersection here with how we treat animals. And let me just give you the outcome, the impact. I have the data here. So we reduced greenhouse gases. We saved 66,979 pounds of CO2 equivalents, primarily in the form of carbon dioxide and methane. We reduced our water footprint. 987,644 gallons of water were saved, or about the equivalent of hydrating over 4,000 people for 1 year. We reduced land use. Just over 8 million square feet of land were saved, enough to grow over 26 million ears of corn or plant 350,000 apple trees. So that is just, that's really significant.
Was there a restaurant that had a dish that was really like outselling all of the others that I need to go have? I mean,
well, the winner, the People's Choice winner, and I would have to agree with him, was the crispy tofu banh mi at Mercado.
Okay.
Oh.
I am a banh mi fan. I'm a tofu fan. And it was a really well-conceived sandwich that they promoted. It's still on their menu.
Is it still on the menu?
Yes, they are keeping that and some of their other options as well.
Great. I'm going to go over there with my daughters. My daughters have been making the push to be vegetarian, and we've definitely become way more plant-based than we used to be.
I've always been a huge cook, and I was a huge meat eater until like 10 years ago because I was kind of like clueless, or, you know, that cognitive dissonance thing.
Yes.
But there is a learning curve to learning how to cook vegetarian, but it's,
and it's not all tofu. I mean, like, I don't think you'll ever really get me to like tofu. I mean, you know,
I'll try,
but there's definitely other, you know, you don't have to have, I mean, like there's mushrooms and like, you know, it's like those kind of things, like, you know, just vegetables are delicious.
Mm-hmm. We made the mushroom bourguignon on the New York Times cooking, and it was incredible. It was better than the beef.
Yeah. That's, I have a recipe for you on New York Times, the mushroom Wellington. That is my go-to Thanksgiving, Christmas meal.
I'm writing it down because
everyone loves that. And my meat-eating children request that instead of turkey or, you know.
I believe it.
And I want to correct myself. The number of plant-based dishes sold was 2,521 during the month. Okay. We got great kudos and endorsement from Cory Booker and from Mayor Spiller and from Cory Booker's
he's a vegan, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Almost 100% of the restaurants, the 13 restaurants, have agreed to keep on their specials or some of the specials or rotate them in. And that's a real positive long-term impact. We will revisit this program next year and try and do it again in March.
In addition to doing the restaurant, is there anything else that you would like for people to get involved in or be part of during, you know, during the year, all the time?
Yeah, absolutely. Anyone who would like to volunteer with us, I welcome your participation. They just can reach out to me on social media. We have Instagram. We have Facebook.
What would volunteering be involve?
Well, we have several activations during the year. We just, I would, you know, you could help at our tabling events So we have three yappy hours scheduled for the summer so far at Montclair Brewery. Mm-hmm. They're going to be from 5 to 7:30 on the third Thursday of the month. And you could come and help us, you know, greet people, spread information about some of the political issues that we're endorsing in the New Jersey State Legislature, which are very important. You could help us set up. We also are doing a table event. We're going to have a canine concierge booth at Montclair Pride Fest. We did that last year.
What is
that? We have shade, seating, snacks. For pets and their pet owners.
Nice.
Free treats, a treat bar, have a little swing pool because it was a hot day. Distribute information about climate change, about our restaurant initiative.
We raised
over $200 for Skylands Farm Sanctuary at the Walnut Street Fair last week.
Wow. And
a group of us are going there to volunteer for the day to work on June 4th and bring them the money. We're very excited about that. During the fall, I will probably reinstate the fall fur drive that we did in November. So a lot of people have old fur coats hanging in their closets they inherited from mom or their great aunt or grandma or someone. And of course, no one wants to wear them because the fur trade is so heinous and so disgusting, painful and abusive. And it's also a perpetrator of diseases, you know, that they can go from animals to people. We upcycle them to wildlife rehabilitators who have injured or orphaned animals in their care. And they cut up the furs to make little beds or bedding for the animals who are in their care. And the fur increases their chances of recuperating because the fur mimics the mother's, you know, touch.
I didn't know
really
that.
Really sweet. Yeah.
So I'm very glad to learn more about this. My main takeaway, the easiest thing for anyone to do is just order a plant-based meal once in a while and you'll be making a difference. And if you can do more than that, more power to you.
Absolutely. If all of us reduced our animal consumption by 25% or 30%, that would have more of an impact than an additional 10% people going vegan in this world. Mm. So we can all collectively make a difference. Lowering the consumption means lowering the demand, which means lowering the production, which means less cruelty, less land use, less water use, less pollution. It's a you know, domino effect.
Yeah. I was telling you that my husband doesn't eat any meat before dinner. And what did you call him?
BB6, vegetarian before six.
Yeah.
Yes.
Huh. So
I never heard of that.
We can all try to be a BB6 like my husband, and we make a big impact.
And one thing I want to just make a plug for is that this year in 2023, they're voting on a new farm bill. The farm bill is probably the single most important thing we can do. We can influence, if we can influence outcome to change the food industry and in the United States, which has a lot of issues, and it's a self-perpetuating, you know, climate change and our existential, you know, perils. Mm-hmm. The Farm Bill is trying to flip some of the subsidies. The only reason for food, the only reason that a hamburger at McDonald's costs a dollar is because our taxes are subsidizing big ag and the meat producers. The true cost of a McDonald's $1 burger is probably about $5 or $6, you know, and the true cost of a steak in the store instead of being $10 is probably about $21, $22, but all our tax dollars are going to subsidize that production. Since we know it's not good for our health, we know it's not good for the environment, the policy funding is kind of a perverse incentive. And the farm bill this year, people like Cory Booker and Gene Bauer and other, you know, activists in Washington, D.C. are trying to flip that subsidy model so that the government incentivizes farmers to grow vegetables and plants, plant-based foods that are healthier for people, pets, and the planet. And I'm going to be, you know, concentrating some of my efforts with Humane Montclair to get the word out about that. Just, I've gotten such a great reception and people thank me, and I thank everyone for participating. I couldn't do it without the support, you know, but
it's wonderful that you started it.
We're at a pivotal point in our existence. The other message I wanted to get is that this is something that anyone can do in any town. I mean, everything I've done is scalable. Putting some action in your compassion, connecting with people who are like-minded to get things done.
Well, I'm so glad that you came on to let us, you know, to tell us more about it. And we're so grateful to know that we are in a town with someone that is putting some action in their compassion.
I love that.
A good one. Yeah. So we're really happy to be part of this, you know, initiative, or I don't know what we call it, but we're so glad to be able to get the word out. And hopefully we'll see you either at the Pride Festival or somewhere along the line. And
okay, Yappy Hour.
Yeah, exactly. Yappy Hour. I like that.
All right. Well, Annette, thank you. We appreciate you coming on.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for your support.
Our pleasure. Thank you, Annette.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This podcast is produced by Rachel Martens and Jeanette Afsharian. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We hope you share this pod with your friends and family and let us know what you think. Check out our website at lostinjersey.site. And don't forget to get lost.